never could have gotten on his path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything, at a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil. And Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
The following program is furnished by the SOA Financial Group. It is for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff.
This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Bobe.
Taking care of business and working overtime.
With market insights and so much more, talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Bobe.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Money Talk Show. This afternoon we have for you blasting Bitcoin, new tax laws, interest rates rising. What an exciting time to be Nathan and Steve Bovee on the Money Talk Show.
You better believe it.
Welcome to the show, folks. 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. Podcast at 790business.com. Markets mixed again. I've been pointing this out. I've been studying, watching this stuff for a long time, and it's pretty rare when you see divergence on a daily basis. Usually it's up and down together. Dow and NASDAQ both up. S&P down slightly today. 30-year bond moving negative for the first time in quite a while. I wonder if we're at the complete bottom of that interest rate cycle now in the bond value area. Sometimes bond prices have a delay in reacting to the bottoming of rates, and it can trail sometimes. Again, markets were mixed today. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business. Financial History Night on the program is Wednesdays. And also, we like to do a bit of a chicken soup of items. And we have a very, hopefully, fun and exciting thing to talk about. Quite a few that Nathan's prepared. The one on these new ETFs that we talk about. Now, because we're going to do a little piece on these things, I want to make sure we put a foundation down first. We don't recommend these kind of things usually. Matter of fact, I have never have done anything like this. They're just these very unique, quirky, odd, unique type of investment funds now, and they're in the new format of ETF, exchange traded fund.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend investing in any of these actually at this point in time. But it is fascinating.
Young speculators, small money.
Yeah,
you research
so.
It well. Well, maybe it's okay. I'd rather see him do that than buy one stock.
Yes. That is true. Mm. That is true. However, some of these ETFs that I've been looking at for tonight's show carry quite a bit of risk, like a stock does, because there's not that many holdings. And
right.
some of them, I was shocked to see how concentrated they were in the top, like, two or three stocks. You know, one of them I looked at, the top two stocks accounted for almost half of the fund.
It's an area that there's not a lot of public companies.
Right.
I would assume.
So there's a lot. Ever since. You see a lot of these new ETFs come out when the market is up, and certainly we've had that recently. And last year, we had a whole slew of ETFs that were issued by different companies that you'd scratch your head looking at it, going, "What? That's an investment objective on that fund." And even before, a couple years ago, we had a whole wave of them that got issued, but they've closed since then. A lot of these ETFs open up and they close right away because there's not enough interest in them.
Sometimes they can open. And let's imagine this: you put $10,000 in one of these investments, and it price drops by 40% in a year, and you believe in holding on, right? You want to buy low, you want to add to your position when it's low, because you listen to the Money Talk Show. And you get a letter in the mail that says that the fund, the amount of money in the fund has dropped below a level where the fund cannot operate at a profit any longer, and we're closing and sending you back your money, and you just lost your 40%, and you have nothing to say about it.
That's right.
So, brand new mutual funds, these type, especially if they're quirky, odd items like that, be very careful, because what I just said could very likely happen in something like this.
That's right. So some of them I looked at, like the first one I looked at was called Buzz, U.S. Sentiment Leaders. And the ticker symbol is BUZ on this one. But what it does is it targets the most frequently mentioned stocks across the social media landscape. It measures whether the sentiment on the most mentioned stock is positive, negative, or neutral on a collective basis. And it measures the influence within the social media community of those individuals who are discussing each stock and their historical accuracy. So it doesn't necessarily invest in social media companies like Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat.
Just ones that are getting a lot of action or a lot of attention.
Right, those ones that are mentioned quite a bit. So the top holdings right now, which Valiant Pharmaceutical was the top holding in this fund. And I don't know, I never heard of that one. Maybe I'm out of the loop. It's getting mentioned on social media, but I don't know about it.
How about this, Nate? I'm taking a look at this Buzz right now. Yeah. You know, me and I'm a chart nerd. I go there first always.
Right.
Exactly S&P-like performance in 1 year. Identical, right? The lines are identical.
Identical, yeah.
So what's if it's going to behave like the S&P with higher risk, why would we want to have it?
I don't know.
Hasn't been a long enough track record to determine how it will behave. It's only been 1 year, but it's like a ghost of the S&P.
Right. Amazon, Microsoft, and Apple also in the top five holdings. So that would explain probably the S&P-like nature.
I wonder what the beta is of some of these things.
Because they're so new, they're not issued yet. You know, you have to have the fund's really got to be out for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years before you start seeing an accurate beta. Beta, again, is a measurement of the risk level. So if a stock or fund has a beta of 1 compared to the S&P 500, it's going to mimic it pretty closely up and down. Whereas if it had a beta of, say, 0.5, it's only going to partake in the ups and downs 50%. You know, S&P goes up 100 points, this one's going up 50.
That's a typical client account for me. 90% of the people that I meet that are 40 to 70 say that's what they want, half the risk of the market.
That's appropriate, I think, especially people in
moderate,
closer at retirement age.
That's where I'm at, and I'll stay there, too.
Right. Mm. But a lot of these funds, like this Buzz one, it's only got $9 million in assets. That's not a whole lot for a fund.
I have one client with that.
Yeah.
No, so you're right, it's not a lot.
Right? The average daily volume, only 3,600 shares a day, average volume, that's not a lot. But this has 90 holdings, 30% in the top 10, though.
Very volatile.
Yes. How about the iFly is the ticker, IFLY. Want to take a guess at what this one invests in?
iFly. Drones.
You got it.
Just a guess.
Right on the debt. Good guess. We did not talk about this beforehand. I wanted to say
I'm not so tired. You helped me today. I'm not so tired today. Tonight.
Yeah, this one.
What's the symbol of that one?
I fly. Yeah.
That's cool.
I didn't recognize any of the names of the top holdings, but Honeywell and Boeing. I'm sorry. We're in the top five. But the AeroVironment was the very top holding, and that sells to the government. The government contracts a lot with that company for the small drones.
iFly in the last 12 months, the S&P is up 16%. It's up 32, double.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Global X is another company that puts out a lot of ETFs, and they've got these two sister or brother ETFs.
Yin and Yang?
No, not exactly. One of them is called Longevity Thematic ETF. The symbol is LNGR. And it invests in companies that are positioned to serve the world's growing senior population.
Mm. Incontinence Index Fund.
Right.
One of my clients asked me about.
Imagine that. Very, very small fund. Only $8 million in assets.
Yeah, no, slow down with this one. Because that's a huge growing market.
I know.
Me.
Right.
60
yes.
and up.
Right.
Huge.
Yep.
Fascinating.
But
that one sounds a little worth looking at. The other two are a little too kooky for me.
I agree, yeah.
Yep.
Then the other one that Global X puts out is the Millennials ETF, which seeks to invest in companies that have a high likelihood of benefiting from the rising spending power and unique preferences of the U.S. millennium generation.
Hmm.
So that would me. I think I just barely fall into that category. 1980 to 2000, usually.
Typically. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I like this. I like the concept if you had Facebook in college, you're a millennial.
Okay.
That's a good way to look at it.
But I got a face.
What is Belichick
saying? Thank goodness I don't have to count on it.
Face snap or whatever.
My brain and my voice are better, but
right.
I'm supposed to say right. I'm your father.
That fund's a little bit bigger, $13 million. But they got 30% in the top 10 holdings. That's not too bad. But some of these are like 60, 50, 70% of the top 10 holdings. So But I got a couple more if you want to talk about them when we come back from the break.
We will. They're pretty fascinating. They're fun, fascinating. I think if we look at 10 crazy ones, we might find one that's worthy of consideration for dollars. Cool. This is the Money Talk Show, and we'll be right back.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
Did you know that Sunfire Hearth in Barrington has opened a consignment shop? A unique holiday shopping location with great items from estate sales, vintage collectibles and toys, furniture to tabletop items, and one-of-a-kind pieces. As always, a great selection of barbecue grills, fireplaces, and even some special deals on fireplace accessories. Keep warm this season with a gas fireplace or wood stove. Plus, 30% off all in-stock patio furniture. Stop in today. Sunfire Hearth and Patio, Maple Avenue, Barrington, or sunfirehearthandpatio.com.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex. Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit 4parents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-601-6992. That's 800-601-6992. 800-601-6992. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD, the only way I know how, through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, but it's sometimes called chronic bronchitis or emphysema. It's a lung disease that takes away your ability to breathe. COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. and kills one person every 4 minutes. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of COPD. Many people don't find out until the disease is already in its late stage. And I have to try to raise awareness of this serious disease. Because if you detect it early, there are steps you can take to manage your symptoms. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Take action today to breathe better tomorrow. Visit drive4copd.com to take a 5-question screener to find out if you're at risk for COPD and talk to your doctor.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business. Hey, the last time U.S. stocks got to these valuations, P.E. and such, every time it's happened in the past, if you average it, the 10-year return of the S&P 500 going forward was about 5, if measured from a high point like this. I brought it up because I just happened to see something on the internet that said is 3% growth the new normal. Better to expect less and get more, right, than the other way around, I would think.
Oh, for sure.
Good time to tune your expectations down, I think. We had a call from Roy in Taunton about emerging markets, and his question was, what's going on this year and what about next year? Good performance this year.
Great performance this year.
Across the board on that. One of my better calls. It was early, but it's happening when it's supposed to happen, while rates are rising.
Right.
And historically, that's the only time it happens. So I don't plan on, I'm not sure at this point I plan on holding too long. I'll probably be trimming quick.
I think it also depends on your age and your time horizon, what your purpose is. I mean, for me,
if you had like an EEM, I'd hold on to it at your age.
Oh, yeah, I've got a big exposure.
But if I have a dividend paying conservative one at my age, I might pair it back.
Yeah.
Depends on who you are. Yeah.
I think it also could depend a lot on region to region, you know.
Yeah. It's a big comment, emerging markets.
Sure. Huge. Yeah, it's getting bigger by the year.
Yes, it is. And how much of the, how many of them are truly still emerging?
Yeah, is China an emerging market?
Sometimes it's considered. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think India, to me, is the big, the one that has the biggest potential long-term for growth.
Yeah.
They're kind of like China was, I think, 10 years ago.
They have the highest GDP projection going forward right now, like the next 15 years.
Right.
I think India does.
Yep.
Monstrous population.
Oh, second largest in the world.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Behind China. Think how many people live in that area of the world.
It's incredible.
I mean, China and India are not that far from each other.
No. The two of them together.
And have the two largest populations in the world.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Think of how many people live in Asia.
Right.
That area of the world's nuts.
Right.
Nuts.
But anyway, we think that emerging markets, as long as rates are rising here in the U.S., and I think that'll be next year as well. We're already hearing talks of raising rates four times next year. I think emerging markets will, I will be surprised if it's not the leading equity market in the world again, over U.S. and over, say, Europe, you know.
Right.
Take a look. EEM is a very well known iShares, very cost effective. This is a probably a very low dividend paying. And normally, Nathan, when we say emerging markets, and almost always senior people anyway, like me, always think of small aggressive stocks that don't pay hardly any dividend at all. That's a cool investment for you,
right,
your age, but I don't like it.
Yep.
I want a dividend, and I don't want 0.83. I want 4. So my emerging markets fund for me at 60 years old is one that invests in utilities and food companies, and so therefore it pays a nice consistent dividend. At my age, if I get a 5% dividend, if the share price never moves, I'm okay with that. Take the dividend at 5%. Now, if you own that fund outside of an IRA account, you might even get a tax advantage on it also, so it would be more than 5 in an after-tax basis. So emerging markets are to Roy and Taunton. We still believe in them. Don't overdo anything. Don't go put your whole 90,000 in. You know, I would put, depending on how young you are, up to 20%.
So if you don't count the dividend, it looks like DVYE this year did about 17% and EEM about 30%.
Yeah, more aggressive.
Right. Right. But again, but you're getting that dividend the whole time with the DVYE. So
yeah,
the returns in reality is a little higher than that.
I like, this is a reflection of where I am in life, my own age, which is 59 pretty soon. And I like as many of my investments. I don't want them all to look this way because then that won't be diversified enough. But the majority of my holdings look and behave like an apartment building. I'm trying to get 2/3 to a half of my expected return from rents, which are consistent and predictable. And the other half of it will be from growth long term.
And you don't have any tenants.
No tenants to bother you. The dividends are consistent. I had a fellow in the office today say to me, if I had $100,000, what kind of income could I get right now? I know rates are so low, you know. And he happened to have an AGI of only $20,000 a year on paper. Very successful guy, other assets. But on paper, he's 67, you know. And he could have a group of these high-yielding ETFs in the 3 to 5% range, and maybe 2/3 of them could be taxed. Many of them be tax-free for him, right? Single,
right.
AGI 20,
right.
Topic 403.
Yep. Anybody with an income, I'll actually say anyone who falls into the 10 or 15% tax bracket,
okay, right,
qualifies for 0% capital gains taxes. So
to the extent that it doesn't push you over that limit,
right, right,
then it would become taxable. Right?
Right. But so any kind of dividend that's paid from an American stock, or as we learned recently,
some non-American
stocks, actually. If an American stock is if a non-American stock is traded on an American exchange, that also qualifies. So,
yeah,
believe it or not, most stocks that you can purchase on the open market,
not REITs, not really stocks.
No, REITs do not count.
Right, no, they're no. REITs. Yeah, right.
But most stocks do pay qualified dividends. So, if you're in that 10 to 15% tax bracket, yeah, dividend paying ETFs or mutual funds can be a very, very smart move because not only do you get that nice yield, but it's tax free.
Mm. And with interest rates where they are right now, historically very low, if you have a bunch of these dividend paying things, I only see those dividends going up. Right?
Right, because they follow interest rates.
Right,
right.
Right. And right to the lowest they've ever been. So I would be surprised if these ones that I have now that are 3, 4, or 5%, that they're not 4, 5, and 6, or 7 in a few years. If you get anywhere near a 7 or 8% dividend and you're not young, I think that's just a beautiful thing.
It also sometimes can raise a red flag, though. The dividend gets too high.
Yes, if it's out of line with the other equal risk assets. Yes, I agree with you.
few weeks ago, we talked about bubbles. And one of my favorite stories about bubbles was this South Sea Company in London, but way back in the 1700s. And it was a big bubble. The price skyrocketed, and they were having trouble attracting more capital. So they issued a dividend of 30%. And this is, many historians believe that this was what burst the bubble, because people saw a 30% dividend and go, how the heck could they?
Are you insane?
How could they pay that?
Well, instant suspicion.
Right, instant suspicion. Right. And that was one of the things that led to the bursting of the South Sea bubble, was the high dividend that it was promising on its stock.
I remember a conversation a few years ago with when high-yield bonds were out of favor. We were talking with someone about it, and it was interesting to try to explain to them. Because when a bond like that, or even a stock, has a dip in value, as you know, the dividend temporarily jacks. Mm. So you have to look at a chart of a company, and if the dividend is high but the price has recently fallen, then that's not the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of good dividend paying stocks, the dividend can act as a buffer. I learned that from reading Peter Lynch's book. Mm. You know, because if the price dips low enough, the yield jumps up, and it acts as an attraction to a lot of money, so it can kind of put a little bit of a basement on a stock. Not saying that it can't completely fold, which is totally possible with a stock, but yeah, we look for those nice dividends always.
Speaking of dividends and ETFs, what else do we have on our list of crazy ETFs tonight?
Ah, so I've got this one from, it's a SPDR, which is issued by the State Street Global Advisors, and actually one of the pioneers in ETFs. They've got one, the symbol is SHE, SHE. Ooh. And no, it's not for the Kiss song. Ooh. If all you Kiss fans out there, the song She. No, it is actually a gender diversified ETF. It seeks to provide exposure to U.S. companies that demonstrate greater gender diversity within senior leadership firms and other multi sectors. Top holdings are Pfizer, Coca-Cola, IBM, McDonald's, Pepsi, because apparently they're very progressive and are employing. Women at leadership positions.
Performed half the S&P since this came out with the identical behavior pattern, week to week, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I did see that, yeah. Hmm. Whiskey is another one, a symbol, WSKY. I'm sure you can imagine what that invests in. This one's by Spirited Funds, it's called. It invests in lots of different distilleries and breweries, very diversified globally. I saw this when I was doing research all over the world. However, not a lot of holdings, excuse me, in this one. So you got to be careful with these.
Up 35% the last 12 months.
That's not bad.
Double the S&P.
Yep. Right.
So if you're going to invest in something that has more risk than something else, you have to be convinced it's going to produce more return, or don't do it.
For sure. Right. For sure. There's a 3D printing one I found, PRNT.
Wow.
I still don't understand what that is and how that works.
PRNT.
That one, let's see here.
Very volatile.
50% of assets are in the top 10 stocks. So again, that one's very small. I mean, how many companies are, or how many publicly traded companies are involved in 3D printing?
S&P like for the last 12 months. Similar return, more volatile though.
How about the obesity ETF?
Hmm.
This ticker is SLIM, S-L-I-M. I'm not making this up. The obesity ETF is from Janus Henderson Funds. I was just on the phone with them today, actually.
Hmm.
And they state, worldwide, more than 10% of men and some 14% of women are now classified as obese. Those numbers are predicted to decline by 18 to 21%. The World Health Organization reported this. And as overweight obesity levels rise, so do the enormous direct and indirect medical expenditures for treatment and prevention, which globally are estimated at $2 trillion annually, creating increased pressure to tackle the issue. So the strategy provides investors with an opportunity to invest in companies globally that could benefit as the fight of global obesity epidemic.
Hmm.
But 40% of this fund is in the top two holdings. That's what stood out to me when I looked at this one.
Right.
I mean, so that, and I... Again, how many companies out there that are publicly traded are focusing on this?
Now, if this, just because the timing seems good for this, I think our listeners may find this interesting. If I discovered something like this that was really bizarre like this, and I wanted to use it in my client accounts, what would we do? We put it before the committee at the office and let the whole group chew on it.
And let the whole group laugh at us.
Laugh at us, right. Well, every now and then you might find one, you know? But, I mean, the point is, you don't dive into something like this that's new and goofy, even with 40 years' experience, without getting a multiple opinion
of course
of the people around you.
Last one I want to mention real quick one is the Wisdom Tree Small Cap Dividend Fund, which I found was the most interesting one to me. I mean,
it's got to be regional banks.
Yeah, it had the largest total amount of assets, $2 billion, and it's paying a dividend of 2.6. I found that one to be really interesting. It had the largest number of holdings, most diversified. So that one I found to be interesting. The other ones were kind of quirky, but that one kind of seemed to me to be an interesting strategy.
Maybe for younger.
Right.
Not enough dividend for me.
Right.
Not enough meat.
Especially when you consider the risk of small caps. Right.
Yeah, right. This is the Money Talk Show, and we'll be right back.
This is your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini. Nela Richardson, chief economist at Redfin, says GOP plans to scale back state and local tax deductions would hurt housing markets in some high-tax states. But at the same time, she says the overhaul also has the potential to boost wealth for some ultra-rich homeowners.
People who are making a lot of money because of the stock market can avoid certain parts of capital gains, and their capital is taxed at dramatically lower rates, or corporations receive all this influx of money and they use it to buy back stocks or pay more in dividends. How that feeds into the local economy's housing market is, you know, one of those moving parts that may offset the worst effects of eliminating SALT deduction.
And Richardson says this could spark demand for very high-end homes, but hurt markets in high-tax states where homeowners have mortgages and rely on employment for income. And that's your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Have pain you can't ignore? Then try first-in-class relief from SalonPass. SalonPass pain relief patches have everything you need in one clinically proven solution. They're the strongest labeled pain reliever available without a prescription. Safely relieving pain for up to 12 hours. And SalonPass is the first and only FDA-approved OTC topical pain reliever. For first-in-class relief, get SalonPass pain relief patches in the green box with a blue wave.
Life happens. With ADT, you can feel safe with an ADT starter kit professionally installed for only $49. Call today and install an ADT starter kit that includes security panel, keypad, key fob, entry and motion sensors, and for a limited time, get a camera included and installed at no additional cost. That's a $449 value installed for just $49.
Requires 36-month monitoring contract, QSB, and easy pay activation. Early term fees may apply. Certain marks excluded. License available at ADT.com, Florida EF001121, Louisiana F1639.
Hi, I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi from Intellectual Medicine. It has long been known that the best way to deliver a cure is often intravenously. The Drip Bar at Intellectual Medicine has applied that principle to the delivery of life-enhancing vitamins and supplements. Your safe and gentle infusion will be administered by our expert nurses in the comfortable setting of our Drip Bar. We have infusions engineered to remove heavy metals and other toxins, boost athletic performance, enhance energy, melt away headaches, support immune function, neutralize free radicals, and even help fight illnesses like cancer and heart disease. We are the region's experts in chelation therapy and high-dose IV vitamin C. Whether battling an illness or striving to maintain your best health, let our doctors and nurses at the Drip Bar point you in the right direction. To learn more about Intellectual Medicine, listen to my show every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WPRO.
Treatments offered have not been FDA approved to treat any disease state and have not been shown to cure cancer.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. Wednesday evening, Nathan Bove and Steve Bove, certified financial planner and certified financial planner to be very soon.
Yes, there's a term for it. It's slipping my mind now. Shoot. Candidate.
Yes, I remember being a candidate.
I'm almost there, man.
1990.
I'm almost there.
Yeah, congratulations. You've done great with it all.
I'm sure. 14 months now.
A lot of study.
Yeah. A couple more months.
In our business, folks, after this young man went to school for a long time, then he came to work in our office and went to school for a long time.
Literally, I've been in school for...
7 years.
7 years, yeah.
Right. Now he's working also and getting paid, but it's still a lot of learning for you at this stage of the game, and that's normal.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
In a firm like ours with many years of experience, it's a good thing.
For sure.
We have another one of these ETFs. I sent you a photo of this one, didn't I? This is the one that got this going?
Yes, yes. So this you sent me a text recently that about this specific ETF that kind of sparked this whole conversation. And it comes from a company called ProShares. Their website is ProShares.com. And the ETF is called Decline of the Retail Store ETF. The symbol is EMTY. Empty. They get cute with these symbols.
They do.
Have you noticed that?
I saw one that was long or short, like the yen, and it was yin and yang.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah. Yeah.
So this one, Empty, is the first ETF specifically designed to benefit from the decline of brick-and-mortar retailers. Hmm. Physical retailers are under immense pressure. E-commerce is threatening to take over retail as consumer habits change. Shopping moves online. Physical stores struggle to remain viable. With this disruption comes opportunity. The Sola Active ProShares Bricks and Mortar Retail Store Index, that's a mouthful, is the first comprehensive public securities index composed solely of traditional retailers and is positioned to potentially become an industry standard for measuring the health of bricks and mortar retailers. The ProShares ETF seeks a return of -1% times -1, the return of the index that I just mentioned for the single day. So it is shorting companies. So you look at the holdings in the company, in the ETF. We've got Sears, Express, Dick's Sporting Goods, L Brands, Ethan Allen, Lowe's. What else in here that I recognize? AutoZone.
More jobs are going to go.
Office Depot, yeah. Dollar Tree, Home Depot.
Technology is the evil culprit. It's not Democrats or Republicans.
Correct. Nordstrom.
Wake up, folks.
Kohl's. Target. Although Target, see, like that's a company I wouldn't expect to see
right.
in here because they do so much online.
Right.
You know, there's so much online. Walmart's another one that I don't, that one's not in any jeopardy. It's the smaller ones, you know.
They probably use a data point like if over half the sales last year were from bricks and mortar stores.
Yeah, Sears seems to be the poster child for this concept. I mean, I have one right in my house that just closed.
Sears and Benny's.
Yeah, Benny's too. I know. You know, I mentioned Benny's the other day with a client. We were talking about the tax reform and complaining about how he was complaining about the tax reform and how, and I've got this from other people too, friends of mine who are saying, oh, it's just going to benefit the wealthy, you know. And I said, you have to understand something. If you want to give companies like Benny's a tax return, a tax break, right? Mm-hmm. How does Benny's take taxes? They're a small local-owned company. They're not paying the corporate tax rate. They're paying what's called a pass-through tax rate, which means who owns Benny's, and those people are paying taxes at their own personal tax rate.
Right.
So if you want to lower their taxes, you've got to lower their personal income tax somehow. I mean, that's the only way, or create, like they're trying to do, some new pass-through income, you know, tax bracket. Mm, mm, mm. But unfortunately, when you talk about people who own businesses, they're usually people who have money. They make a lot of money. I mean, that's just, that's the way it's always been.
Well, why should it shock anyone when there's an across-the-board tax cut, the people that are carrying the most burden get the biggest break? It's mathematically proportionate. That's the way it works.
Right. I mean,
right. I'm not saying it's the absolutely the only way to do it, but that's how it works, though.
Yeah, and the people and the most the biggest basis of tax income comes from the middle class. You know, people who are super rich, they don't necessarily have super income. They just have super assets,
right?
Which is not doing anything on the income tax side.
No, some people have a lot of money but don't have a lot of income on paper.
Right. So when you think about which part of the population income tax is generated from, it's usually from the middle class.
Right.
That's where the biggest part of the base is.
That's why they say if you raise rates on the, you know, the top 1%, it won't help at all.
No, nothing.
We'll raise nothing. Pennies. Nothing. Pennies. Right. Right. Yeah. And if you can raise them. And the other thing you got to keep in mind, like Illinois, people say raise tax on, well, they'll move on you, and then you get nothing from them if you don't watch it, right?
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to take 80% of my income, I'm leaving the country if I can go someplace else and pay one quarter of that.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's what we've seen.
And anybody that could leave would leave. They wouldn't stay and tolerate that kind of level. No one would.
On the corporate side, you know, we've seen that a lot.
Yeah, businesses run away. Right. Illinois's got mass exodus, state of Illinois right now, and it's all the people that pay the big taxes.
Right.
What are you going to do when the people were paying the biggest part of the bill leave? What do you do then?
Well, it doesn't hurt things like we just talked about, right? I mean, the largest...
Smaller, right. Smaller, yeah. As long as the middle class stays.
Yeah.
Right.
Really,
that's where the bulk of it comes
from. That's where
the
bulk of it comes from.
Right, right. But the point is, it doesn't work. We'll take more from them. No, they take off on you.
It's that old saying, if you love something, set it free.
See what happens.
See what happens, right?
Right, right. No, I just said that, and I would not. And after I thought about it, I thought, I'm sitting here with my son, I thought to myself, I wouldn't move away from you for any reason.
But you know people who have moved from Rhode Island to get away from...
To get lower taxes when their kids are here, and I never understood that. I would never... I'm going to be wherever you are till I die. That's my plan. You, my children.
Yeah.
That's what I want. But that's me. Everybody's different.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I never understood how... me too. I couldn't imagine being away from my family just for financial purposes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially
if
I can swing it, you know.
Maybe if you didn't have family, you're single, or, you know, you had a little different circumstance.
Yeah, I think if you're young and you're moving to for opportunity, you know,
right,
which I think sometimes is a fool's errand, but...
I have days or weeks where I spend this wonderful time with my 85-year-old father and my 33-year-old son. I mean, if I move away, I would lose all that.
Right.
What could I possibly replace that with
in
my life? Nothing. There's absolutely nothing that would even come close to me.
I always encouraged young musicians who I taught music lessons who were really talented, who wanted to pursue a career in music, tell them to get out of here, you know.
I think I might have told you that once when you were young in college. I don't want you to leave, but...
Go to New York City, you know, go to Nashville, go to Chicago, go to L.A., you know, go where there's a demand, you know, for that kind
of
stuff.
As a matter of fact, it's a little funny personal joke with me and some of my friends that either don't live here anymore or maybe, you know, people like clients that lived away, and they all say the same thing. How did you become so successful in Rhode Island? And I say, well, there's a lot of great success in Rhode Island. It's just a little place, so, you know, there's not a lot of success. There's not like millions of successful companies because it's a small place, you know.
Right, right.
But it does have a bit of a reputation like that. So I think... the music world, you want to go to L.A., Miami.
Of course.
I would think.
Of course, right.
Better.
Yeah.
And unless you're happy with what you can work out here, and if it's that important to you to stay around certain people, then that's a different reason, I guess, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I know people who actually moved to Rhode Island for jobs. My wife and I are our best friends. Jessica, she was on the show with us once last year.
Yeah.
They moved from Philadelphia to Rhode Island.
Sure.
So
I love Rhode Island.
I do too.
Anyone who is in Rhode Island for a while, if you don't somehow find a way to experience Narragansett Bay in your life, I think if you haven't done that, you need to before you really make a judgment on Rhode Island, because it's a big part of my life. It always has been. It's one of the biggest reasons, family first, but that I love Rhode Island.
So I'm glad you mentioned Rhode Island, actually, because some of the material I prepared for tonight's show on our regular history night is centered on Rhode Island. The man who founded Dow Jones and Company and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is buried in Rhode Island.
Is he?
On North Main Street, over near where the old Benny's was. The Nicky's Liquors is over there. Where Branch Avenue intersects with North Main Street. There's an old cemetery there, and he's buried there. Charles Dow.
Charles Dow.
He was born in Sterling, Connecticut, 1851, which is right over the border here in Rhode Island, eastern Connecticut. And he got his first job in journalism in Rhode Island, in the Springfield Daily newspaper, But he moved to Providence a few years later. He worked for the Providence Star. He was the night editor there for 2 years. He started working for the Providence Evening Press. Providence has a very long history of newspapers. Then at 26, he joined the Providence Journal in 1877. That's how long the Journal's been around.
Wow.
Yeah, 1877. Hmm. There he covered business stories and regional history. He wrote books on steam navigation and a history of Newport. He wrote a book called City by the Sea. He wrote on the history of Rhode Island schools and prisons and reported on Newport real estate, which at that time was a huge, huge deal. Think about the Newport mansions being built.
Yes.
Right, that's right in the thick of that, all that real estate going up. So he reported on all that.
Made a lot of good jobs building them big buildings.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
The local craftsman was good for the economy and thing. And then the people who own houses like that, when they leave their house and go out into the town, they spend money.
Well, people don't realize Rhode Island back then was a huge economic powerhouse.
Yes, it was.
Not just because of that, but because of
you go back far enough, Pawtucket was.
Yeah, well, because of the mills.
Mills, right.
Blackstone River was
textiles.
Was the hub, man. That's where it started, all the textiles and stuff like that. But the big break that Charles Dow got was in the late 1870s. He started, the Providence Journal sent him to Leadville, Colorado to report on silver mining. So there was a big, after the California gold rush.
It was called Leadville?
Leadville, yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder, it probably had something to do with the minerals that were being discovered at the time.
Yeah.
But after the California Gold Rush, there was obviously all new interest in that region, in the West, to look for more and more minerals, whether it's gold or silver or whatever.
Anything, copper.
And there were huge deposits of silver that were being discovered in places like Nevada and Colorado. And he went to went to Colorado, report on silver mining, followed around financiers and bankers, and reported on a lot of their successes and failures. And he learned a lot about what it takes to be successful, and he learned about how Wall Street worked. He learned about, wrote about the Rocky Mountains, all the mining companies, gambling, the saloons, the dance halls, the raw capitalism that was going on, and the information really that drove the investments into these mining stocks. He wrote in one of his articles in the journal, he said, "Mining securities are not the thing for widows and orphans or country clergymen or unworldly people of any kind to own, but for a businessman who must take risks in order to make money, who will buy nothing without careful, thorough investigation, and who will not risk more than he is able to lose. There is no other investment in the market today as tempting as mining stock." So he was covering the most speculative stocks at the time.
Yes. This is the Money Talk Show, and we'll be right back.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
Ho, ho, ho! It's that time of year again. Yes, time for holiday savings at the Very Merry Santa Sale at Sears Hometown Store in North Kingstown. Sale starts today and goes through December 24th. Take up to 25% off appliances. And now through Christmas Eve, donate $5 or more to Make-A-Wish and get an extra 15% off appliances and an extra 5% off almost everything. Tis the season to save. Locally owned by Tom Yacobucci. Sears Hometown Store, 6655 Post Road, North Kingstown.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-601-6992. That's 800-601-6992. 800-601-6992. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I was recently laid off. Bills started to pile up, and we had to make a tough choice. Heat or eat?
For years, the Good Neighbor Energy Fund has responded by providing energy assistance to local households.
Thanks to the fund, my family got through a tough time.
If your household is having trouble paying the heating bills, please contact a CAP agency, call United Way 211, or visit RhodeIslandGoodNeighbor.org. Ad sponsored by the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talk and business. Thank you for joining us this week, this year, and for the last 25 years on the Money Talk Show. We weren't always on this station, and we weren't always on every evening. It's been quite a journey of a mixed bag of assignments, I'll call it. But it is the last appointment of the day, and Don and I and Donna and Nathan consider all of you our clientele. And we're here to share ideas. And to offer some sort of guidance and answer questions if you want to give us a ring at 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790.
So we're talking about Charles Dow tonight as our history topic. Charles Dow famously founded the Wall Street Journal and the Dow Jones and Company, Dow Jones Industrial Average, not a small potato in the financial world. And he was from Rhode Island. I mean, he's from Connecticut, but worked in Rhode Island and Providence his whole life.
And Warren Buffett worked here in Rhode Island also?
I don't think so. No. I think his company.
The company,
Berkshire,
right.
Traces its history
right
to Central Falls. But the thing about Charles Dow, he was a very admirable person. He was very committed to objectivity at a time when there were no securities laws on the books back then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of papers that were purporting on investments and things that were going on Wall Street were very subject to bribery. Journalists would they receive shares in a company if they reported on it incorrectly? There were no laws, you know, at this time on this stuff. You know, it was a wild, wild west. So, you know, Charles Dow, he pioneered this idea of objectivity in journalism in this industry.
Hmm.
But he worked for
what happened to it?
Well, that's another topic for another show, right? But. In 1880, he left the Providence Journal and came to New York City. He was 29 years old. He worked for a place called Kiernan Wall Street Financial News. And there they delivered by messenger handwritten financial news to banks and brokers. And Dow recruited his friend Edward Jones. He recruited his friend Edward Jones from Providence Evening Press to join him. Jones was very analytical, a statistician.
Of the Edward Jones?
No, actually different. Company? Very, just a coincidence. Same name, different people.
Very common name, Edward Jones.
Yes, I'm sure, right?
Excellent company, by the way.
And Charles Bergstresser was the other one. I love that name, Bergstresser. He was a co-worker at Kiernan, and he convinced Dow and Jones to start their own company. And Bergstresser was the chief financier or silent partner, as some people like to say. Dow Jones and Company was founded in 1882 in the basement of a candy store.
Wow.
That's how they started. And their calling card, or the way they advertised themselves, was unbiased reporting and a team steadfast in moral compass. Other reporters, like I said, were being bribed to drive up prices of shares, and that was not illegal at the time.
Wow.
There were no, I mean, it's...
You need regulation in the financial business.
Oh, yeah.
You absolutely need it. Anybody who rails against it always, I never understood that. I'm in the field, and I don't rail against it always.
One of the most famous
we need to have it.
Stories about this type of reporting and driving up the stocks and prices through journalism, or yellow journalism, I guess you could say, was U.S. Steel. When U.S. Steel first went public, it became the first billion-dollar corporation in 1901. But many of the tactics that were used by J.P. Morgan and other investors who were behind it were through journalism and getting out to the public things that were not, you know, exaggerating, let's put it that way, that were not exactly true.
Sure.
So they founded it in the bottom of the basement of a candy store, believe that or not, and began putting out afternoon two-page summaries called the Customer's Afternoon Letter, which is a summary of the financial news of the day. And by 1889, they had 50 employees, and the Wall Street Journal was born that year on July 8th, 2 cents per copy. $5 for a year's subscription. Charles Dow was the editor, and the policy statement of the Wall Street Journal back then was, its objective is to give fully and fairly the daily news attending to the fluctuations in prices of stocks, bonds, and some classes of commodities. It will aim steadily at being a paper of news and not a paper of opinions. The paper's motto was the truth in its proper use. Of course, part of that was jettisoned quite soon with they will not give a paper of opinions. They actually became one of the first papers to endorse a presidential candidate, William McKinley.
Hmm.
But 1896, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was formed. It had only 12 companies in it at that time, and it was created a separate index for railroads, because at that time, the railroads were half of the economy.
Yes.
So you couldn't have an index that had railroad stocks and other stocks and try to analyze it correctly. You know, you had to have one that had just railroads in it and one that had everything else in it. And that was a proper way to analyze it, because the railroads were just everything back then.
Yeah, it would blur everything.
Right. The Dow theory, as we know today, if both the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the railroad index moved in the same direction, a meaningful economic shift was occurring. But Charles Dow did not believe his ideas should be the only one forecasted for market ups and downs, but one tool of many that investors could use. So even back then, Dow was always trying to stay objective and be productive. The original 12 Dow components. Any guesses on what the original Dow, any companies?
GE.
GE, that's correct, was one.
Victor Phonograph Company?
No. We've got American Tobacco.
Yep.
Was one. It was on there for 62 years.
Is there a smelting company back then?
I don't think so.
Smelting? No.
U.S. Rubber?
Okay.
31 years. American Sugar, 34 years. Let's see here. U.S. Rubber was actually bought out by Uniroyal and then by Michelin, the tire company.
Right.
So U.S. Rubber is still kind of around, still floating around in different...
In different forms.
Different forms, right. National Lead was another one on there. 20 years. Chicago Gas, Tennessee Coal, Iron and Railroad, which became a part of U.S. Steel in the panic of 1907. U.S. Leather, American Cotton Oil, Distilling and Cattle Feeding Company, Lacede Gas, North American Company, which is a utility, part of PG&E Corporation now, actually part of the S&P 500. But the Wall Street Journal eventually was sold to Barron. what's his first name? Can't remember. Charles. Clarence. Right? You know it. Clarence. You know Clarence, right?
No.
You guys go way back.
I don't know.
1902, he bought the Wall Street Journal from those guys. And in 1928, it was inherited by the Barron's family when he died, who ran the company until 2007, actually.
Oh, wow.
Stayed in the same family. And it was sold to News Corp for $1 billion in 2007.
Wow.
News Corp, of course, Rupert Murdoch, Fox News.
A billion.
Yeah, lots and lots of money. But the overall story of Charles Dow is he was very objective. He was a good man of character.
He was concerned for his country and his people.
Yeah, and for investors.
Sounds like it.
And
yeah.
Fought against fraud. And
sure.
Very noble guy. I'm glad he's buried in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
We should go visit his tomb someday. Do a show from his tomb. How cool would that be?
Well, that's the great youthful energy of the young man on the show tonight.
Can we get the producers? Probably not.
We do remote shows once in a while. We've done a few.
Yeah, we've done shows at Twin Oaks. We've done them
always fun.
At the Dorrance, the old bank.
Bank.
That's a bar, restaurant now.
Hmm.
That's beautiful.
I'd like to do one from Newport someday. Newport's such a cool town.
Newport Mansion?
Ooh.
There we go. Now we're talking.
There you go. Keep thinking, son. You're hot tonight. Couple minutes to go. We went through our crazy ETF list. Don't buy these things,
right.
Most of you. They're exotic is what they are.
Yeah.
And we talked about them in a cursory manner. We did not get into betas or risk or anything like that. So if you're going to take anything from that list, just make that the beginning of your research project. Don't go out and buy them.
Yeah, anytime you're going to purchase or invest in an ETF or a mutual fund, one of the things I like to do is look at the holdings. How many holdings does it have, and how concentrated is it in the top, 10 or so?
Sure.
Because if you got one, like some of these ETFs we talked about tonight, half of the assets are in the top 10
right.
holdings, or in the top two holdings.
And the main reason you buy a fund instead of a stock is to get that diversification.
Right.
So that would be counter to what the main objective was for wanting to own that particular kind of envelope.
Right, right. I think we're going to start seeing these Bitcoin ETFs next year.
Yeah.
They started, the futures came out.
Right.
On Sunday.
Be like GLD.
Yeah. Yeah. Except. Except I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just crazy. It's so weird. I mean, I see people on
My answer is the same every time on that one, and that is that I'm very conservative investment advisor. I don't go near stuff like that.
Yeah. I saw these two twin brothers who run one of the exchanges for Bitcoin talking about how it's going to go. We anticipate it being a 20-fold increase over the next few years. I said, well, that's convenient for you because you probably own one of the largest holdings of it. You know what I mean? So
yeah, and I heard some very wise people say gold was going to 5,000 an ounce when it was 2, and it never went anywhere near that. So be careful with that kind of Richter scale kind of stuff. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. This is signing off on Nathan and Steve Bovey. Tune in tomorrow night for Don Soa. Right here on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
Installed for only $49. Call today and install an ADT starter kit that includes security panel, keypad, key fob, entry and motion sensors, and for a limited time, get a camera included and installed at no additional cost. That's a $449 value.